Brothers and sisters, I trust all of us again here today are thankful for this opportunity that God has afforded unto us to meet here once again in His house, to hear of Him who has done so much for us, and sometimes we forget who we really have to thank and to praise and to worship. I appreciate this opportunity being here at Old Cool Springs Church, a place I loved 29 years ago when I united with Old Canoochee Church, and I'm not ashamed of you brethren here, and I hope that I'll never do anything to make you ashamed of me. And if I could have your prayers this evening, brethren, I would appreciate it so much. I count it a great joy, as the Apostle Paul, I count it happy, O King, to speak for myself. I had prayed that they would put Brother Darty up, but I didn't pray for this. I'm telling you the honest truth. I have never left home feeling like I would bust if I... That's bad grammar, but you get the message, don't you? I have never left home feeling that if I didn't get to preach, I would burst. And any man that comes to Cool Springs feeling like that, let him burst on the outside rather than in the pulpit. But anyhow, if I could have your prayers this evening, I would be in debt to you. I want to talk to you this evening about something that's very common to Old Baptists. And it's with other orders, but I don't know too much about them, but I do know it's Old Baptist. If I can speak to you about something you can relate to this evening, that'll do you good, right? If it's the truth. If I talk to you about a 50-cent, you have one, you readily know what I'm talking about. Or a quarter. I won't say a dollar because you'll accuse me immediately of preaching for money, and I'm not going to do that. If God called a man, he better go where he gets a dime a nod, or he'll make him wish he had. That's what I believe about our God, don't you? And so, brethren, I want to talk to you this evening about excuses and church sickness. I was with Brother Willie somewhere the other day and spoke on this. But I don't know what I wrote. I mean, I don't know what I said. I didn't have it written down. There's a difference in reading a speech and preaching. I want you to know that this evening. And Apostle Paul over there, so what was this? And maybe 2 Timothy 4:2. It's in there somewhere. I know I'll quote it. He said, "Preach the word, brethren." That's what I'm called to do if God's called me. And so this evening, I shall humble again to myself and ask you to please pray for me. I want to go to Luke 14 and verse 16. You are very familiar with this, and I hope you are. If you are not, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, someone asked me recently and said, "Brother Tommy, if you were not an Old Baptist, what would you be?" I said, "Knowing what I know now, I would be awfully ashamed." And that's just the way I feel, brethren. I'm glad to be an Old Baptist, aren't you? I'm not one because of my family. My mom and dad are not Old Baptists. In fact, only one of my brothers out of 9 children, and he's here today. Thank God I had the happy privilege of baptizing him less than a year ago. What a wonderful experience. But here Luke in chapter 14, verse 16 said, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent..." Now doesn't that sound like Old Baptist today? "And they all with one consent began to make excuse." Remember that term. "And the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." Now listen to this one. "And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Brethren, there's been a lot of women blamed for things that wasn't right. You understand that? But anyhow, excuses. That's what I want to try to deal with this evening. Brethren, excuses have been around ever since the first family of man. Isn't that right? Sure they have. You know I'm telling you the truth. Don't you remember Adam? Adam said, "My wife did it." You see, that's been around for thousands of years. And Eve didn't forget it. She said, "Satan called me to do it." Oh, my friends, listen, excuses has been around a long time. We've borrowed a lot of them from ancient age. You understand that? But brethren, most people live in yesterday and tomorrow and forget that today is the day of salvation. You can't change history. You can't hurry up tomorrow by 1 second, can you? Brethren, we ought to live while we got life, and that's right now. Isn't that right? I don't take this position that eternal salvation is a done salvation. Now, our dear brethren talked this morning about working out your own salvation. That is not talking about eternal salvation. Because in John 17:4, he said this, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." I ask you, did Christ tell the truth? He said he was truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But brethren, this evening, excuses, when you make an excuse, all you do is decline at that time. You beg off. You ever heard that term? You beg off. You shun. Or you avoid. There are so many. Another one is refuse, I suppose. All of these are what our Strong's Concordance says that are excuses. Now you see, all of these with one consent. Brethren, they made an excuse. That is, all of them at one time. Now, you sitting out there grinning, and you say, I've never done that. You just lied is what you did. We've all made excuses. Is that too hard? Is that too hard? I'm going to talk to you about church sickness in a few minutes, but I want to get these excuses. Brethren, I remember in Revelation 3 over there, somewhere along in there, it says this. Christ, doing the speaking, said, I would that you were either hot or cold. A lot of old Baptists are lukewarm. Now, lukewarm is this. It's not quite cold enough to make you get up and put a blanket on you, right? Lukewarm. It's just cool enough that you're too lazy to get up and turn on air conditioner. That's lukewarm. But Christ says, I would that you were either hot or that you were cold. My friends, a lukewarm person, he's almost a lifeless person, is he not? It's hard to tell a man, by the way, don't go to sleep on me this evening. You might interrupt the whole congregation. And you may say something your wife or husband couldn't wait to get home to ask you about. Don't go to sleep on us this evening. And so don't make an excuse for that. But anyhow, brethren, this was supper time. Did you know the world don't even like that term? Supper time is an evening meal, isn't that right? I remember when Christ was betrayed, it says, the night. You remember supper being ended the very same night that Christ was betrayed. He took bread. So supper is an appropriate term. Now, if I invite you to my home, it'll be breakfast and dinner and supper. Don't come to my home when I invite you to lunch, because I may not be there. I love the term supper, don't you? That's an old country term that most people don't even know is a Bible term. But brethren, the Bible here says, and all things are now ready. I believe that the doctrine of the Son of God, as Luke said in 1:1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration, brethren, I believe the gospel is a declaration. I do not believe it is a proposition. Do you?
No.
I really don't. It cannot be so. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order. That's what old Baptists need. We need things set forth in order. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order, those brethren, those things which are most surely believed among us. And in verse 4 of that same chapter, he says that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There is something in this world called an absolute truth. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Sure it is. And if you know the truth, brethren, and the truth shall make you free. God has not ever called me to preach heresy. He has not. A man told me, I had a funeral with another man recently, and now he believed in the age of accountability. And I said, listen, because you're an old Baptist, don't cower down when you know you're right. You understand? I said, would you please show me that in God's Word? I want three things. I want the book, the chapter, and the verse.
Yeah,
that's right, Brother Rupert. Here's what he said. I know it's not in there, but my people have always taught it, therefore I've got to do it. Now let me tell you something. If Rupert Nobles goes astray preaching heresy, don't expect me to do it. That's a poor excuse, isn't it? Because someone else has done it for me to do it. So, brethren, this evening, the book says, here come, for all things are now ready. When Christ set up His church somewhere around 2,000 years ago, there's not been one thing changed in it, right? Christ never changed it. Man may have. In fact, this book, since it was written, there's not been one word added to it nor one word taken out. Did David not say in 119:89 of the Psalms, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven? That's one thing that is most surely believed among us. And so this evening, brethren, I can see this great supper here. I believe when the gospel is preached in its entirety, and not just a lick here and a promise there and a lick here and here we go, but I believe when the gospel is preached, brethren, the whole counsel of God, it is as a great meal. Isn't that right? Our souls rejoice this morning in this great preaching. Oh, my friends, but they all consented here, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. Today, my Christian soldiers of the cross, they never said, we will not go. Did they? They all began to make excuses. Now, God's heard every excuse man hatched up about not going to church. And I've heard a book on them myself. A dear lady told me the other day, we wasn't with you present in body, but our spirit was with you. I said, don't send your spirit. Paul said in Romans 12:1, did he not? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present what? Your spirit? No, I beg you, I beseech you by the mercies of God, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? It's very reasonable. We've gathered here on a Saturday evening, isn't it? I tell you, brethren, we got a God of gold and we're asking Him for things. That's right. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which we ask or think. That's who we got this evening. Brethren, I was in another state recently and a man said that the sins of God's people was down under the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ was not a band-aid. You understand that? I know that thing's probably getting too loud, but brethren, I'd like to die telling this, wouldn't you? I'd rather die telling it than to be silent and die, hadn't you? So anyhow, brethren, they all began to make excuses. I have honestly, and I'm so ashamed of this, when I was getting called on to introduce the service, even by offering prayer or introducing the service by way of speaking, I would absolutely, deliberately be late to go to church. It's a wonder God hadn't struck me dead. Brethren, why was I so stupid? That's all that is. If you get called on to offer prayer, do the best you can. That's all God requires, isn't it? And when you get up before God's people, beg God to bless you. And if God shuts up a man, God will still be God. And He'll be great and wonderful and good and holy in every respect.
Amen.
In Revelation 3 over there, does it not say that He can open and no man can shut? He can shut and no man can open. And sometimes God will shut a man up to show him as well as the congregation who's in control of this thing. Now don't ever set a preacher up on a pedestal. Don't do that. That's only idolatry. You remember this, if a whale couldn't keep a preacher down, a church can't do it. No, my friend, don't swallow him hook, line, and sinker. But anyhow, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. That is, they together. My brethren, listen. People honor you for going to church. If you have company come to your home, give them two options. To go to church with you or stay there till you get back. They'll honor you for that. They may get mad with you, but big deal. Who cares? If God be for us, who can be against us? My family learned that long ago. My dad-in-law would come. He said, I don't know why he's got to leave. And we come. I didn't leave because he come. I went because it was church time. No family member is worth missing a good church meeting for. You understand that? Now, here I am with these excuses, brethren. But anyhow, the first said, I have bought a piece of ground. He wanted to increase his real estate, didn't he? Brethren, listen. If you think real estate is going to satisfy the longings of your soul, you are as dark as it was in Egypt. So dark it could be felt. Now this God set darkness upon the land of Egypt, and right up to the land of Goshen, there was light on the other side. Any God can do that is worth more than real estate. You understand that?
Amen.
But this man wanted to increase his real estate. That's right. My friends, when my dad died, he didn't leave one inch of ground, nor one penny to 9 children that I know of. You see, our family was spared from being broken up, right? Absolutely. Leave a little, and children fight and fuss and squabble. Never speak to one another. We were spared from that, brethren.
Amen.
Thank God my dad didn't leave me anything. I'd rather have my family than have a little pennies left, hadn't you?
Yeah.
And so, brethren, anyhow, I got to get on. I want to hear this man here preach. Well, I have bought a piece of land. I must go and see it. Well, it was late in the evening. What was he going to do with it at night? He couldn't even see it. Brethren, the human race is a mystery. I don't understand them. I don't understand myself. I often tell my wife I don't approve of everything that I do and say, don't expect me to approve of everything you and the children do. But brethren, I know this. If you think happiness is in a beach house or an airplane or a diamond ring or real estate, you're only fooling yourself. I'd rather have the presence with God with me than 10,000 worlds like this and all it could afford. That's right. You give me this 1611 translation in my hope and put all the gold of 10,000 worlds like this. It wouldn't be a difficult choice to go with it. I'll go with God and His people. And I've told my family, if you ever place that on me, that it's either you all and you and the children, or either it's God's people in His church. I've said from the pulpit and before these witnesses here today, I'll gladly go with God and His people. I want to be like old Moses when he was 40 years old, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but chose rather, you're talking about a choice, you got it, hadn't you? But chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. My friend, this evening it's very reasonable that we have gathered here on a Saturday. Well, let me go to the next one here. And one of them had bought a piece of land, and so his land wasn't going to go anywhere, but he had to go see it. Now, I know a man one time, Brother Sam, that bought a piece of ground, never had seen it, and when he went to see it, it was underwater. Bought one of these fire department salesmen's real estate from Florida, went down there, and it was underwater. Now, let me tell you something. Don't buy anything unless you see it. You understand that? That's a good rule. But I want to get on to the next one. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. A man told me recently, he said, Brother Tommy, I would have been to church, but I had to go feed my livestock. I said, I know that. That's been around about 2,000 years, that excuse. He wanted to go, he bought him some livestock. If you think life is going to be better with you with livestock, all you got is another pest and torment. That's right. And so this evening, brethren, increase in your livestock is not going to help you either. Now, listen, I must get on it. And another said, he said that I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I guess that was the least of all of them. You, dear sisters, are the most wonderful thing God's ever created. But I'll tell you, there's nothing any better than a good godly mother in this world, and there's nothing any worse than a sorry one. You understand that? That's exactly right. And any woman that, I guess 90% of our trouble when Dottie and I got married, she wasn't brought up an old Baptist, and I wasn't either. In fact, I'd heard so much about them, I said I'd never be one of them. Be careful what you say, you may have to eat it. It was the most wonderful thing that I've ever done in this world. It's when I united with the old church and an old brother, Raleigh Reiner, a third grade degree preacher. No theologians were there at Old Canoochee Church. No vicars, no popes. No reverends, they are none of them, are they? Psalm 111 and 9 declares that. Brethren, I'll tell you what was there at Old Canoochee Church on a Saturday morning. Of all the places I could be, I never have understood why I wound up at an old Baptist church on Saturday morning. I just believe somewhere, brethren, in my past life, the hand of God has surely been upon me. And when I was in the military, I never drank the beer. I'm so grateful for that. Remember this, there's someone always watching you. And if you're an old Baptist, you're a magnifying glass put on you. You understand that? They love to examine old Baptists. But anyhow, brethren, Adam blamed his wife. That's been around a long time. But anyway, I started to say 98% of mine and my wife's trouble was, when we got married, she couldn't understand me wanting to go to church so much. And I couldn't understand her not wanting me to go. Well, let me tell you this, go to church. 29 years it's lasted, 30 in October. Just go to church and serve God the best you can, and God will honor that. And I'll guarantee you he can deal with your wife or husband for being contrary to that. Anyhow, let me get over here to these excuses. Well, I want to get on to this church sickness. In Romans 2 and 1, the Bible says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. He said, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things. Now, dear kindred in Christ this evening, church sickness, I don't understand it. If your meeting starts at 11 o'clock, it comes on you around 10. That's right. And it leaves you around 12 when the service is over. That's right. And if your meeting is at 7 o'clock in the evening, it comes on you about 6, and it lasts till 8. It's very contagious. You have company and say, I don't feel like going to church, I'll guarantee you they'll take you up on it. It's very contagious. Now, when people are sick in a hospital with a contagious disease, they put them in quarantine, right? That's the way most old Baptists are. They want to be in quarantine at their home when meeting's going on, when church sickness comes on you. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. Brethren, I'm telling you this evening, it's a very reasonable thing that you serve God. You might say, Brother Tommy, we haven't had much time for God lately. Well, God can make you have time for Him. You understand that? He can put you flat on your back so all you can do is look up and make you very sorry of every excuse you ever manufactured. And so the book says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. That inexcusable, that simply means without excuse. Well, that's right. You are without excuse. And so this evening, brethren, down home, I say this. If birthday dinners and family reunions don't destroy the old Baptist church, with God's help, we'll survive it. That's right. Thank you, Brother Theo. A man called me recently and said, Brother Tommy, announce our meeting over at Hebron today. I said, why don't you come to Hebron and announce it yourself? It was only 25 miles from where he lived. But he said, Brother Tommy, I would, but I got to drive to North Augusta today to a family reunion. He was very willing to drive 125 miles to a family reunion and wouldn't drive 25 to church. Now, my dear friends, listen to me this evening. You put the service of God behind your family reunion. When you get there, there's probably going to be some wishing you hadn't come. You understand that? That's the way it is with most family reunions. That's right. We have a family reunion every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. That's right. Every Sunday night, somewhere about 6 or 7. And I'll tell you right now, this church sickness, my dear friends, I'll tell you, it just won't stand up to an excuse of God. You might say, my children come home. Take your children with you to church. If you worship your children more than you do God, I'm sorry for you. God can take away that. You understand that? Anything you serve in this world, you'll worship it. And a man said, who was it that said over there, that where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be? My friends, where is your treasure today? Is it in the church? Is it in your king? David said on one occasion, think it a light thing to be the king's son-in-law? I'm not a son-in-law of the king, brethren. I'm a son of the king this evening. That's right. It's one thing to be a son. It's another thing to be a son-in-law, right? And so, dear friends, therefore thou art inexcusable, old man. I've heard anything from ball games to birthday dinners to family reunions, children. I've heard of fish fries. I'm not telling you anything new, am I, brethren? I'm not telling you anything new. I don't know why a man can be too sick to go to church. But if anything else comes up, he feels very well to go. That's right. Is this too hard? I'm trying. You said all you are preaching to those that are not here. I may be, but I want you to hear it to keep him from falling in that same bunch. That's exactly right, brethren. Don't think you're exempt from it. I've heard trips to the beach. My goodness. One man told me long ago, Brother Tommy, I would have been at that meeting, but I'll tell you the truth, I just forgot it. Now that's a dilly, is it not? Forget your church meeting? You're the most ungrateful creature ever walked the top side of God's green earth. To forget God and His worship service here in this world. And so this evening, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. I've heard my company wouldn't leave. Well, did you ask them to leave? Well, y'all probably won't want me to come back, brethren, but I'm telling you the truth today. I'm trying to talk to you about church sickness. It's contagious. It'll make you feel bad all over. No doctor could prescribe something powerful enough to cure church sickness. Now listen, the Bible here says, whosoever art thou that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. Now, next Sunday morning, suppose I saw Brother Cecil Darty going to a family reunion. Brother Darty, I'm not singling you out, but anyhow, don't go to your family reunion. When there's a young man giving an old soldier advice, isn't it? But anyhow, I said, there goes that Cecil Darty, that sorry thing going to a family reunion. And then next Sunday morning, old Tommy has a family reunion. You see, I've condemned him, so what I want to work for Cecil Darty, don't turn it on me. You understand that? I've judged him, but I don't want it to work for me. So brethren, listen, be careful how you judge, for you will be judged by the same standard. And so today I've heard shopping trips. Oh my Lord, oh man, thou art inexcusable. The best thing to do is go to church and you won't get church sickness. That's right. You won't have to make an excuse. Suppose you're in the hospital next week facing the knife of a surgeon. and you said, "Dear God, please bless me through this." Suppose you heard a voice say, "You didn't think enough of me last week to go to my house. Call on your family to get you through it." You understand that? So, brethren, excuses has been around a long time. Some of you don't like what I said today, but I can't help that. You are probably guilty of it if you don't like it, right? Absolutely. And I don't apologize for what I've said. I apologize for the way it was said. But I'm simply saying excuses is as old as the family of man. You're not introducing anything new to God. He's done heard every one of them. And I've heard so many of them myself. You're without excuse, the Bible says. Brethren, I believe in a sweet by and by. But I believe there can be a sweet now and now, don't you? Today, where had you rather been than to have been here and heard the gracious words that fell from our brethren's lips this morning? Now, I want to tell you something. If Christ loved me enough to die for me, is it anything strange or incredible that I should love Him enough to serve Him? Brethren, one glorious day, heaven will be mine somewhere. Now remember, Paul, was it not Paul and Silas? Or Paul and Barnabas, two of the apostles, was walking alongside of a river outside of a city. You remember they found a group of godly women down here having a prayer meeting. The Bible says, "And the Lord opened Lydia's heart." I believe somewhere God has opened my heart. I wouldn't love this if He hadn't, would I? No, my friends. 30 years ago, I wouldn't have turned my car key to come up here. No, I didn't care anything about you or nobody else. But the things I once hate, now I love. And the things I once love, now I hate. You tell me a man can bring that about within himself? Oh man, thou art inexcusable. If God has given you a divine nature to love Him, you're on your way to glory this morning. You might say, "What if I want eternal life and can't get it?" If you want it, it's too late to get it. It done got you. Isn't that right? Brethren, you're inexcusable. And you, dear sisters, I know it says thou art inexcusable, old man, but you, dear sisters, are not exempt from that either. Go to church. Love God. Read His Word. Pray for the old church. Don't make an excuse. Did not Solomon say this in Ecclesiastes? He said this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." You remember that? "Fear God and keep His commandments, which is the whole duty of man." What more can you do when you fear Him and serve Him, my brethren? And I believe when it comes our time to die, I believe that'll be the only thing we'll rejoice in, is what we have tried to help others and been in the service of God. Don't you believe that? I just believe this. I know it to be a truth in nature. If you don't put anything in the bank, you don't draw any interest, right? My friends, I believe if you serve God and go to His church here in this world, I just believe that'll be something you can draw off of in your old age, don't you? "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." I believe if we remember God in our youth, I believe He'll remember us in our old age, don't you? Brethren, let us fear God and serve Him. Don't make excuses. And above all, don't get church sickness. The first time you're lukewarm. Then the next time you're cold, and about the third time, it's so easy to miss church. And then about the fourth time, you're frozen to death and you say, "Nobody over there cares about me." And that Satan's right in the middle of that, isn't he? Brethren, thank you for your good attention. I may not never get an opportunity to speak here again, Brother Watkins, but I say again, church sickness is going to kill us. If we're not careful, and I'll say this, Brother Darden, I'll shut up. If you don't come to church when you have the opportunity, do you know what you're saying? I could care less where the doors of that church are open today or not. That's exactly right. Now, we don't want to lose old Cool Springs Church. You might say, "Brother Tommy, there's no danger of our doors closing." Well, where are the seven churches of Asia today? Where are they? Are you all any more spiritual here than they were? I doubt it. Brethren, the best way to lose something is neglect it. You don't have to take a stick of dynamite and blow up this church. Just neglect it, and I promise you, you'll lose it. I want to sum this up like this. Don't make an excuse, and don't get church sick. It can make you feel so bad. I've got church sickness a time or two and went to church, and it cured it. Thank you for your good attention.